Do you want to know what's really fun about being a woman?
This is starting to sound like a Shania Twain song.
Man, I feel like I'm in perimenopause. Ugh, the brain fog, the mood swings, the night sweats, the unpredictable cycles. Many women enter perimenopause and they don't even realize what's happening to their body, and it's directly impacting how they're making major life decisions.
You get divorce strategy on this podcast, but when it comes to strategy for what's happening inside your body, our friends at Natural Cycles are here to help. Their new app mode, NC Perimenopause, within the Natural Cycles app interprets those hormonal shifts with data and science.
So I'm currently using the app and the intel is fascinating. It doesn't just track symptoms. It helps me see patterns and it helps me connect the dots between my hormones, my symptoms, and my lifestyle. It even estimates what stage of perimenopause I'm in. I love that it helps me better understand what's going on with my body and why I have days where it's more difficult to make decisions than others. And that clarity really matters. You can even download a personalized report that you can bring to your doctor, which makes those appointments way more productive.
Natural Cycles is a female-founded digital health company that analyzes biomarker data to help users better understand their cycles. NC Perimenopause is for anyone experiencing or anyone who thinks they may be experiencing perimenopause, from the first hormone-related changes to your cycle or symptoms all the way until menopause, when your periods stop. Learn more and give it a shot right alongside Andrea.
Yes, let's do this thing together. You are not alone in your divorce or this transition. There are tools to help you make sense of what your body is doing. Visit naturalcycles.com and use code DIVORCE. Or tap the link in the show notes to learn more about how you can save on a subscription.
The How Not to Suck a Divorce podcast cannot be copied or rebroadcast without consent. This podcast does not contain legal advice. The information contained herein and provided on the podcast and the resources available are not intended and shall not be construed as legal advice. And with that, enjoy the show.
Are you looking for more support while you navigate your divorce? Well, guess what? We can give that to you. Direct link in our show notes to our private Facebook community where you can ask questions, get some cheap entertainment, and most importantly, feel less alone.
This is the only divorce podcast that's one part family law attorney and one part recovering comedian. We're dedicated to bringing you action steps, empathy, and a healthy side of snark. This is How Not to Suck at Divorce.
Is anyone else annoyed about time change like I am? I mean, why are we not talking about this? Because I tried to blame my kids all week. It's like on them. Well, you're the problem. You know, time change really affects you. And then there I am at my workout at 4 o'clock. I think I yawned. I counted because it was kind of getting ridiculous, like 16 times in a 45-minute period. Like, get a life at 4 p.m. And it's literally time change because I don't know about your house, but my house is all out of whack. Bedtimes are weird. Wake-ups are weird. And this is for me too. So I don't know. Does anyone know why we do time change? I still don't understand it.
Because we're the farmers.
Yeah, but what are we doing now?
Oh, no. I don't farm. So I can't really speak to that. But I don't. No, not anymore. I used to. I no longer farm.
Were you using the hoe or the plow?
Girl, I was the hoe.
You are.
No, I mean, like, I don't know. It's been a disaster in this house, too. I mean, the kids are staying up late. It feels like I've lost control. I mean, not feels. I have lost control. And I mean, I don't know. I feel like right now, add it to the list.
You've had a week. I can tell.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. The topic of today is interesting because for so many people, unfortunately, the chaos, the emotional chaos, the mental chaos, the shit that you go through while you're getting a divorce doesn't always end with a divorce decree. And for a lot of people, when they leave a tumultuous marriage, there's this misconception that the abuse, the toxic behavior, whatever you want, however you want to label it, it's going to like go away. and it don't, right? We know that it's going to get worse before it gets better. And I'm really glad that we're having this conversation today because, you know, partial transparency. I wish I could give you guys full transparency, but I ain't about to get sued. But things are hard right now in my world. Things are hard. And so let's offer people some tips, shall we? So we know that, unfortunately, the abuse, the bad behavior, the unhealthy behavior, however you want to label it, we know that it doesn't go away when you start the divorce process. In fact, it does get worse. And my God, does that suck. I think that there is this unrealistic expectation that floats in our minds of, we are doing the right thing. If you are the one choosing to leave a bad relationship, right? You think, okay, I'm doing it. I'm going. And you don't realize that once you start to take control away from the person who wants to control you, that things go, and that's what happened. And so, I mean, Morgan, I can only imagine how many people come busting through your door in tears because they did not anticipate how bad things were about to get.
Right. It's so true. And it really kind of is this hump that you have to almost get over. Because again, if you're taking, and you said it right, you kind of said what I was going to say. If you're taking control away from the person who's used to being in control, it's like a slap in their face. So of course they're going to lash out. And they're going to do ridiculous things. So just, you've got to be mentally prepared for this. And what do I mean by that? For example, for a lot of people who have kids, you're stuck in the same house with your soon-to-be ex for some time. If they're behaving just bad enough, but not bad enough to get them kicked out fast, an attorney may build a case to kick them out of the house, at least where we are, over time. A motion, what we call a motion for exclusive possession. And that kind of details what has happened in the past and kind of the tenor of the house. But it takes a while to get that through. And in the meantime, you've got this person who's losing control, lashing out, doing stupid things just to annoy you. I mean, everything from, I've had clients where, you know, the spouse eats dinner and just leaves all the garbage and the plates and the food all over the kitchen, or purposely messes up the kitchen and walks away. I have clients where they lay on the couch and the kids go to talk to the spouse and the one who's losing control, and they act like almost like they're not there. And then they're picking a fight constantly with the other side. It's just a tough situation. We will know this as divorce lawyers. We will get a handle on it. But sometimes time is not our friend in those situations. Mm-hmm. And time has to go on a little bit before we can grasp it.
And these are the lighter things that you've described. I mean, there's even darker, heavier, scary shit that people do in those beginning stages when they first realize, like, oh, shit, this person is serious.
Yeah, like trackers on cars, you know, intimidation. Those things really, the problem areas that I see, and I want to talk to Catherine about this because you're obviously, Catherine's a lawyer as well, but the problem areas I see are almost the more annoying ones where they're constant jabbing because they're losing control, but they're not rising to the level of going in on an emergency petition or an order in front of the court trying to remove them from the house. The more serious ones. Those are the easier ones to get somebody removed or calm the situation faster. The trackers, the physical unfortunate abuse that may happen, something like that, the video cameras in the house, those things. Andrea, you have something.
Well, so you just mentioned Catherine, and yes, that's our guest today, Catherine Rupp, who's one of our good friends of this podcast. Catherine Rupp is a family law attorney based in California. She also works very closely with Our Family Wizard, which, as you guys know, if you have heard our show before, Our Family Wizard is another good friend of our podcast because we very much see the value in what this app brings, especially for families who are navigating a more contentious situation. So, hey, Catherine. Welcome to How Not to Suck at Divorce for, I don't even know, for the third time, fourth time, I don't know. Welcome back. It's so good to see your face. And what do you think here? I mean, I know you went through some of this stuff firsthand, which I have to tell you, we got so the messages. After the last time you came on, we did an episode with you that was called, I think, Divorcing a Narcissist. And so many people attached to the idea that, like, oh my God, this woman is a family law attorney herself, and she has to use our family wizard for her own situation. And thank God she said that, because now I finally don't feel like the problem or the crazy person.
Well, yeah, we're humans too. And unfortunately, you know, the system is limited. I think that's sort of what Morgan's describing, is that there's only the way that our legal system is built, is that unfortunately there's only so much we can do without there being a more overt issue. So a lot of this under the radar stuff that, you know, for lack of a better word, narcissists like to operate with is hard to litigate. And it's hard to seek a remedy in court for that. So you're really having to lean more on your tools outside of court and your support system outside of court when you're in that situation. And there is no better situation to experience that type of abuse than when you're pulling away that person's supply, and you're starting to put up boundaries, and you're starting to stand up for yourself in a way that you probably haven't at all in this relationship, in a very new, different way. And not only that, this person is now having to play by a whole other set of rules in the court system that doesn't always make sense to people and doesn't always feel fair or right. And that can really escalate the tension, especially at home. And you're there, you're an easy punching bag. You're right there to take that out on. So that, I know in my personal experience, it definitely got worse before it got better. And it's still something we struggle with on a day-to-day basis, but you get better. I think that's the big thing that I like to tell people and clients, that the other person might not change, but you're going to change, and you're going to get a lot stronger, and you're going to have a much better understanding of the dynamics at play and be able to move forward in your life and kind of deal with it in a different way than when it's so raw and new and fresh.
You know, there's this, we mentioned this before, this unrealistic expectation that people have that they're not going to go through this, right? That it's not going to get worse. Do you think that it's because we're naive? Or do you think that it's almost because, like, our minds are protecting us? Because if we really marinated on how bad it's about to be, maybe we wouldn't do it. Is it like childbirth, where there's a reason why we forget how painful it is?
Okay, so I would say, from my experience, it's not necessarily that you forget or you just kind of, you know, think it'll be all rosy and that kind of thing. I think it's more that the first step in a divorce, which is filing or initiating or moving forward, is such a scary one that people are like, oh God, it can't be any worse than that, because that was so scary that I made that decision. And we're good now. I made that decision. I, you know, drew the line in the sand, and we're much better because now it's out in the open. But there's rocky roads after that for most couples that are, you know, contentious, et cetera. What do you think, Catherine?
Definitely. I think that's probably, from an attorney standpoint, that's the easiest step, is filing and starting. I know, both personally and professionally, that I found peace in taking that first step. It was sort of like, I've committed to this. Okay, we're doing this. But then that brings a whole nother host of issues, and it's a long road. In California, the average length to finalize a divorce is a year. And it often takes much more time. And then if you have kids, you've got ongoing custody issues. So I think it's really preparing clients for that initial hump, and then the sort of mindset, the shift that, okay, this is going to be a process and a journey, and it's going to happen overnight.
I mean, then I'll go ahead and say it. I'll be the one with the big girl pants and say, I think that my body did protect me, because if I had an inkling of how horrible it would be, I don't know that I would have left. I don't know. I was completely, and it's funny looking back on it, because then you think, what are you, stupid or something? right? The marriage was absent. If the marriage is a dumpster fire, then how can you think that your divorce is going to be like, okay, no big deal? I say this all the time. I think for so many people, when you enter the divorce, you are already in the eye of the storm because you've been in pain for so long, which is exactly why we're offering all these tools, because we know that you are coming from such an exhausted and emotional place. So if that resonates with you, just know that you're not the only one. And that's why we want you to pay attention to this episode, because we're telling right. you shit might get a little bit worse. It probably will, but here's what you can do.
Okay, but I don't want to dissuade listeners from going forward, because Andrea, your message is not that it was scary, I would have never done this, and
correct.
Looking back, I wouldn't have done this. You are like 100% now where you are. You should have done it.
That's
right.
Yep.
And Catherine too.
But what you're trying to say is it's a rocky road and you have to be prepared for that. And that's okay if it's scary.
It is. And I think really more so, and thank you for clarifying, I think that it's, you don't know what's going to happen to you. You don't know. And none of it might. We don't know, right? It could not be awful. But here's why we're doing this episode. So let's get into this. Here are the things that you can do to help control a situation that feels completely out of your control.
Yep. So, all right. So attorney's guidance is number one. We are here to guide you through this whole process. When you have somebody, your spouse, behaving like a complete child, or even worse, you know, somebody who's an abuser. And again, it all runs the spectrum and it all tells a different story. So, you know, I want you to use and utilize your attorney the best you can and their guidance. So I want to throw this to Catherine. Catherine, what would you say is the best way to use their attorney to guide them when things are on this spectrum? It could be from annoying as shit all the way to abuser mm-hmm. after they're losing control. What would you say?
I would say first step, number one thing that's going to help you the most is to be really clear about what you want. When you're in those initial phases, it might be as simple as, I just need to get out. I don't really know what I want. But when you're starting to bring an attorney in, you need to work with them to really drill down. What is it that I want a year from now, 3 years from now, 5 years from now, big picture? What does my future need to look like? What do I need for my kids for them to be emotionally healthy, happy, stable? What do I need for myself to be emotionally happy, stable? What do I need financially? And how do I get there through this process, or at least set myself up to be on? And that's where your attorney can really come in and help you. They're not going to be able to fix the problem entirely. They're not going to change the other person, but they can help lay the foundation for your future life and make sure that you're getting what you need out of your judgment to reach those goals down the road. So being really clear with them from the outset is going to be helpful. Otherwise, they're just going to take your lead and it can be kind of chaotic if you're going issue by issue and don't have a big picture of what's happening. Sorry.
Can an attorney help you figure out what you want? Like if somebody's entering this and they're already just like, they're like, I don't know. I want out. I want to feel better. I don't know. What should I want? Morgan, Catherine, how much can an attorney weigh in here and help people make sense of something that is so abstract?
Yeah, I think that's our job. I mean, I think that anyone listening here that's like, oh, crap, I have no idea. I just want to get rid of this marriage. It's our job to figure out what you want and how to achieve it if you don't know. And I would say it's your job as a client to really bring your attorney in on the struggles. And don't be so blanketed. So I have a case right now where the person, my client, believes that the husband is a drinker and not really safe with the children. And for a long, long time, you know, I wondered whether the allegations were just kind of, you know, what I call blanket. They're just overbroad, you know, that kind of thing. And what's been happening is I wish that that client would have just given me a really succinct timeline of issues right at the outset, because what's happened is now we have somebody in the house with bad behavior, and the client has been giving me dribs and drabs of information that if it was all presented on a platter to me and given to me, I would have been like, oh yeah, this person is, we are kicking him out of the house or her, whatever side you're on, et cetera. But because I was getting these dribs and drabs of information and not getting this clear picture of what was going on in the house, and it almost seemed like my client was just more annoyed with the situation. But in reality, there was some real stuff happening there. But I didn't have all the tools to help her.
So what would a clear picture have looked like, though? Like, what should they have done differently?
So, Andrea, you and I always talk about a timeline, right? So what's most important to me is what's happened in the last 6 months. Of course, I want to know in the last year or two what's happened as well. But the last 6 months are really close to when we're talking about things. So I want to know exactly what's been going on. And if we're building a case, let's just say, around somebody drinking too much, I really want to hone in on all the details. I want to know, when was the last time? Do you have photos? Do you have videos? Did they enter rehab? Have they ever had an alcohol device in their car? I want to know all those things at once. And then I want you to tie it into what's going on at the house. So we always talk about timelines. This is where we're talking about a timeline. Andrea, would be so helpful for me. Mm-hmm. Now, I just talked a lot, so I want to hear from Catherine because she is our guest of honor here, and I want to see what she has to say.
I would agree with that. I think that kind of brought me back to my own personal case. And when I was first working with an attorney and making the decision to leave my ex, and one of the things that I learned as part of that process is that we often block things out, or we forget about how bad things were. We've justified things in our mind. So it doesn't always come easily for clients to provide that information right off the bat. One thing that really helped me was asking some close personal friends in my life, family members, my mom, my sisters, you know, can you remind me of issues or of things that have happened? And I was shocked by what they told me. I was like, oh, I had completely forgot he had done X, Y, and Z, or that that had happened, that we'd had these issues. And it was terrifying to have that all, you know, recalled. But also really helpful, because I just wasn't in the mental state to prepare that information in a way that was going to be really helpful for my attorney. So definitely lean on your support people if you've shared that with somebody. I also encourage my clients, when we come to the initial consultation, to start keeping a journal. It really helps to keep a journal, and then you can reference back to that when you need to provide those timelines and things like that.
I completely relate to what you said about blocking things out. There were so many times where in the beginning, you know, I wasn't very good at documenting things. And, you know, when someone asks you, when did that happen? You're like, things happen every single day. Things happen every hour. You can't keep it straight. And so it is so important to keep things documented. But that brings me to my next question. If we're talking about how do you help your attorney help you mitigate the emotional abuse, the mental abuse, all the bullshit, what's the best way of getting that information to someone? I know, because we've talked about this before, that simply screenshotting text messages, it doesn't always go so far, especially not if this ever goes in front of a judge. What's the best way to relay this information? Is there such a thing as too much information? Like, are you going to annoy the fuck out of your attorney because your soon-to-be ex is annoying the fuck out of you?
Yeah. And so the simple answer is yes, obviously, there's a thing of too much information where attorney's eyes glaze over, mine do. You know, when you get those emails, I call them books, where you open it up and you just are like, oh my God, what is this? Like, and you just want to like close it. Unfortunately, that happens to me numerous times a day. Those are not the most valuable emails, I would say, as a client. Don't send those to your lawyer. Bullet points are good. They will want more information if they see something that's important. But when you write the long books, we glaze over because we have so much going on. But is there too much information? Yes. But I will say I would rather have too much than too little, because when we're building a case, I need to parse through it. One thing I will tell clients at times is, why don't you try to put together a timeline for me of the last major 6 months, the major problems that have happened, or even 3 months, and send it to me. Include texts, videos, photos, a timeline, whatever you think is relevant. And then why don't I review it and see if you're on the right page? And if you're on the right track, I may say, okay, this is amazing, or here's how we're going to tailor it, or I want even more information, rather than you going down this rabbit hole and then the attorney's like, yeah, I'm not really going to use that. So you might want to do it that way.
And one of the things, you know, just a shameless plug here, the way that you can do that is using OFW. I used it in my own case to keep a private journal of what was going on throughout the custody case. We have a journal feature where you can attach pictures, you can attach screenshots, you can attach documents, and you can create private journal entries as to what's going on. And then you can, and you can share that with, if you've, you can share that particular entry with your attorney, and then they can go back and access it, you know, whenever they need it, or if you're working with a therapist or somebody like that, or if you just want to keep it completely private to yourself and have control over it. It's a nice place to keep everything.
If somebody's at a point in their process where, let's say, they want to use Our Family Wizard, but their soon to be ex and their co-parent is not on board yet, would it still be worth it for them to use it just to help them organize everything that they can then share with their attorney?
Totally. I used it just myself at the beginning.
Before did you really?
I worked with the company. I did. Before I got my ex on it. And it was just a nice place to organize my thoughts and have a, it gave me a sense of control and a place where I could put everything without having to inundate my attorney with every text message or whatnot, and have a place for it.
And then I also think it's great because you can use it and that can be your divorce platform, right? Rather than your like throw up of documents all over your computer. You're probably on your work computer and you're like, oh my gosh, I've got all this divorce crap everywhere. It's kind of nice to have it on one platform and you're like, okay, I'm going to zone into this platform and this is, I'm prepping for my case and here it all is.
Yep.
You know, the best part about getting divorced is having the ability to write the next chapter in your life.
Ooh, I love that. And I'll add that I tell my clients all the time that setting yourself up for success in your next chapter is key to living your best life.
Girl, facts. And guys, you know your girls, Andrea and Morgan, we're always going to give you pro tips on how you cannot suck at getting divorced, which brings us to Our Family Wizard.
Friends, hear me on this. Our Family Wizard is not just for couples going through a high conflict divorce.
No, it's for anyone who wants to be more organized with expenses, kids' activities, calendar requests, and messaging.
We recently co-wrote a special article for Our Family Wizard that gives you tips on how best to communicate with your challenging co-parent and come out on top.
And to get access to this article written just for you listeners, go to ourfamilywizard.com/notsuck.
And it's nice because you never really know what you're going to need or when you're going to need it. So it's a, you know, you could have one particular issue in a case, like let's say dad's drinking. And, but there's also this other stuff going on the side with maybe he's being inconsistent with pickups and drop offs, but that's not the pressing issue at the moment. And then 6 months down the road, you're ready to address that issue or it becomes a problem. If you've been documenting it all along, then you can go back and pull that information out to show what's going on. You kind of never really know what you're going to need when.
So that brings me to my next point. I mean, obviously the gold standard, at least in my practice, if somebody is nasty or both people are just struggling, I'm going to suggest that they're getting on Our Family Wizard to communicate. I'm going to take them off of the text message chain. I'm going, if opposing counsel won't agree that we put them on there, then I would go to court and have the court order it. And honestly, I don't think I've ever had a court, at least where I am, if you say a few things of why the couple is struggling, not order it when asked. But the question, you know, I have for you is, let's, you know, most people are not putting personal attacks on Our Family Wizard. That's the reason we put people on Our Family Wizard, is to, we try to tone down their communication. So let's say, for instance, they're not on Our Family Wizard. They probably should be. And there's these constant attacks. You know, these threats, because that's what I see right after you file for divorce. It's a lot of mental warfare. And what it is, you know, well, I am, you know, I'm going to file this petition. It probably has a lot of lies about you. And then I'm going to watch you in the house to see if I can rile you up. And then I'm going to threaten you. Like, I'm going to take the majority of the time with our kids and make this house a mess. So they're slinging this mud at you constantly. How, Catherine, would you say someone responds to that type of behavior?
Don't take the high road. It's really hard to do. I struggle with it still. Never respond to an attack with another attack.
Boring.
Yeah. Save it for happy hour. Save it for you. I like to have a group of girlfriends that are my designated, you know, bitches that I can go and have these sessions with and complain, and they know the dirt. And
save it for the burn book.
Yep. But
don't, when you say don't, you mean literally don't respond at all.
Don't respond at all unless there is a serious concern that's being articulated.
Mm-hmm.
If you really feel the need to respond, like you have to defend yourself, like let's say they've made some horrendous accusation, like you're driving drunk with the kids, something, you can respond just a very brief, that's not factual, that's not true.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for your concern, that's not true. Leave it at that.
Right.
You don't need to litigate your case. They're not the judge, they're not the jury, they're not opposing counsel. Save that for your
wallet.
Ooh, yeah.
I'm so glad you just said that, because that is it right there, friends. Seriously, stop this recording, rewind it, and listen to that again. I think we, so many people, I myself included, and it's embarrassing because I host a goddamn podcast about this shit. We fall into that trap of believing it just because it comes out of their mouths, right? You're not the judge. You're not, you don't know. What do you, what? And I think.
You don't even know what the hell's going
on. You don't know what's going on. Like,
no.
But that's what gets people. And you know that that's what makes the blood boil inside. And that's, it's like after a certain amount of time of being told, you're crazy, you're crazy, you're crazy. Well, they start acting like the crazy one. Mm-hmm. Right? So.
Well, remember too, it's what Catherine said. It's like, and everyone knows if you've listened to our episodes, we hate the term narcissist, but the fact is everyone talks about it. Yep. And so I'm going there for tonight, even though I'm cringing doing
it. Oh, boy.
Yes. Here we are. We're on a moment. So if there's a true narcissist on the other side, it's called when you cut off their supply, makes them think of it like you cut them off and they wither, right? So if you don't respond, you're cutting off their supply. If they want you to respond, they want you to engage. They want to see that you are upset by what they're saying.
Yep.
When you don't respond and you almost like just look blank faced, it's not as fun.
Nope.
So they, after a few times of them doing that and you responding that way, they're going to be like, well, this is boring. I got to try something else. They're going to move on.
We call that gray rocking.
Yeah.
As interesting as a fucking gray rock.
Exactly.
And like Catherine just said, my God, is that so hard to do? Because they're saying something so hurtful, so crazy. I mean, the messages that we get from you guys breaks my heart to hear these things that you guys are all navigating and these awful things that, you know, she's saying to you, he's saying to you, it makes you want to scream and you want to fight back. And I think, you know, we actually spoke about this, Morgan, in the episode that we did with James Quigley, when we were talking about, should your case go to trial or should your case go before a judge because you're looking at your ex being held in contempt, right? And that motherfucker spending a night in jail, you want to make sure that all of the communication on your side of the fence is clean and above board, because it muddies things up when it's not.
Right. And to your point, Andrea, I get a lot of clients who are really afraid to not respond for that reason. They're like, well, if I don't respond and a judge sees this, doesn't that look bad for me? And my answer to that is always absolutely not. It's more likely to look bad if you engage. That's when you're going to get out of control. That's when you're going to look like you're part of the problem. You know, a judge isn't going to take what this blanket statement from the other person is fact without something to support that. So you just not responding isn't, you know, an admission of guilt by any means. If anything, it makes you look like you're the more composed, reasonable party and let the other one spiral and dig themselves a grave there.
So let's talk about this, because this is something that I don't think we give enough attention to. And I think that this is probably the hardest part. Somebody throws an attack your way. They're throwing mud on your face. The stakes are already high. You're worried about money. You're navigating a divorce. You're not sleeping well. You are not in a good, strong place, right? And they are threatening you. You want to lash back out. And in the back of your mind, you're like, God damn it. I hear Morgan and Andrea in my head saying, make sure that you're acting this way. You got to be a bisque. You got to be brief, informative, friendly, and firm. But what you really want to be is a big bitch. You want to say, okay, guess what, motherfucker? I'm going to come and burn your house down with your, you know, your ugly mom inside of it. And let's party, right? What do you do with yourself so that you can respond the right way? What do you actually do in that moment when you want to cry and scream at the same time?
I write the response. I just don't send it.
Whoa.
And I find that to be very cathartic. I've spent many hours drafting what I think is a fantastic rebuttal to whatever bullshit has been slung my way. And then I let it be.
Morgan, what do you tell clients?
I think if it's on text or email, we, you know, pull over, calm yourself, go take a walk. You are not responding, maybe if at all. But if you are going to respond, you're going to respond an hour or more later because you are not thinking clearly when you get these ridiculous messages from somebody, and your response back is going to be just as ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
And I see too many clients feeding into the BS and just taking that bait.
Mm-hmm.
And so I need to tell the client to stop, walk around. You know, we always talk about Randy, and I always say, we're whining and walking.
Have a walk.
We're whining and walking. That's what we're doing.
Well, and it's funny you said that, Morgan, because it's so related to what Catherine said before, that in our minds, we think that the abuser, for lack of a better term, number one is the judge or the attorney or God. And number two, that we have to respond immediately. And you don't have to. That's all in our mind. So they're not the be all end all. And you, if you need to respond, you don't have to respond in that second. You can take the time and write something that you do not send. You know, if you need to get all of that angst and stuff out of you, which I love that idea, by the way, or you can take a different approach and give yourself some time to breathe. But I love that because that is exactly what I think our listeners need. They know that they're not supposed to send a text back to the person saying, I want to punch you. I want to throat punch you. Right. But what do I do? I love the idea of a throat punch. A throat punch never gets old to me. Sorry, it doesn't.
Really drives the message home.
Really does. Yeah. It's a beautiful illustration of people's feelings.
Yeah.
Well, one of the things too.
Go ahead. I was just going to say one of the nice things about OFW is that it's a really great way to set boundaries for when you're getting those messages. So you're not, you know, getting the text message in the middle of your workday that's then triggering you and throwing off your whole day. You know, you can set up exactly when you're getting your notifications, how you're getting your notifications. You don't have to get push notifications to your phone. I have mine set up to send me a notification and an email summary once a day. And then I can choose when I look at that email. If I want to do it at night with a glass of wine when it's convenient for me or at a point where I know it's a good time, you have complete control then over that. It's not this person invading your personal space.
Yep. So, all right. So let's give some actionable items. We love action steps on this podcast. So in my opinion, I want you guys to remember three things here. This is where I'm coming from. And this is kind of not professional speak, so I'm going to say it. But number one, don't feed into the bullshit. That's what it is. It is complete bullshit. So that's number one. You've got to take a step back and not feed into it. Number two, I want you to remember to keep a timeline. Prep the case for your lawyer. Your lawyer is not living your life. You are living your life. So you're going to have to help them if you want good results. And the third thing,
a lot of times these, you know, taunting messages, et cetera. And you get probably so many that some you're like Catherine was talking about, it's like, oh gosh, I don't know if I should respond. Should I not respond? If I don't respond, I'm going to be screwed in court. For the messages where you're not sure on what to do, talk to your lawyer. They will tell you whether to respond or not. And sometimes they will even write the response for you. When you're really torn on those messages, that's where you're going. So those are the three things that I would give action-wise to get through this hump and get you into better territory.
I would love to know from Catherine, like, knowing that our family wizard, we keep saying OFW. And for those of you who are like, what the hell acronym speaker are they talking? It stands for Our Family Wizard. What are ways that if someone's like, I don't know that I really need this app, like what are other things that this app can help people do if they're trying to be more organized and feed their attorney the correct information to help their case and hopefully put an end to this abuse?
Well, it has a bunch of different features. Every single feature is designed to solve like a common co-parenting issue. So it's not just messaging. There's a shared calendar. There's an expense feature where you can, you know, send expense reimbursement requests. There's the journal. We also have voice and video calls and recorded calls. So if you have issues with, you know, your co-parent saying inappropriate things on their calls with their kids, there's a way to record that using the app. And everything you do in the app is documented in court admissible reports. So that's the really nice thing, is that you're creating the evidence that you're going to need. Well, hopefully you're not, but if in the event that you do need it, you've had that evidence created OFW app really easily accessible for your attorney to use. So that's the big one there. I also like to think of it as co-parenting training wheels. It provides these boundaries and structures that people need at the very beginning when you're in that really heated phase to interact with your co-parent. It's not as loosey-goosey as just sending a text message. It's more formal. Like, I am intentionally using this app to work with this person. It's a little more business-like. It gives that sort of third wall that can help you distinguish between a heated conversation with my ex and my new co-parent. If that makes sense.
Yeah. I also think that some people might think, I don't really know what's ahead, right? I don't know if I'm going to need this app. I think for some people, you can kind of look at it like health insurance. Like, it's a really good thing to have. You don't know if when you're going to need it. You don't know when you're going to get sick. You don't know if, God forbid, something's going to happen and you end up in the hospital because you sprained your ankle or whatever, right? But it's a good thing to have, because when you do need it, you don't want to be scrambling. So I think that it's important. And I know that when I went through this, I made so many mistakes because I wasn't so organized. I didn't have all of the right tools, and I was coming from that super emotional place. And now, you know, post-divorce decree, when I'm still working through something, I am so much more mentally and emotionally organized, if that makes sense. I'm able to make smarter decisions because I have these tools and I understand so much more. And I think that it just speaks volumes to why knowledge gives you so much power and how you're able to say, this is not the case. Like, I see what you're doing. I don't have to respond. I understand that you feel this way, so you're behaving this way. But number one, it doesn't mean that the whole world's going to come crashing down. And number two, if I need to share something with my attorney, this is the best way to do it.
Yep.
I like it. I think that this is good stuff. I really wish that we had a wand, though. I really wish that we could say, here is the secret formula to making it all go away. And we don't.
I feel like this podcast is kind of like a wand. We're like fairy godmothers. Okay. At least we're getting them in the right direction, right?
I think that it's the best that we can do. And hey, you know what? I'm just glad. Like, I think I keep thinking while we were recording this episode, if even this gives people a break from the chaos for just like 45 minutes, they get a little bit of a break and they can listen to this and know, like, you're not crazy. Like, you're listening to professionals here who have gone through this stuff themselves, and we're telling you what to do to help make this situation a little bit easier. So at the end of every conversation with a guest, we always tell people where you can go and find this person if you want to stalk them online. And the best part about our guest today is it's really easy to find her because she's actually a member of our private community on Facebook. So that's going to be your first line of defense, friends. If you are not already a member of the private Facebook group, the How Not to Suck at Divorce community, what the hell are you waiting for? Go join. Catherine is a member and she answers every single question that people have.
Just through the Our Family Wizard website. I always stumble between Our Family Wizard and OFW. Through there, or you can email me directly at krupp@ourfamilywizard.com. It's the best way to get a hold of me. But really, I love the Facebook group. I think that's a fantastic tool that you should be utilizing. It's a really great community of people going through the same things that you're going through, a safe space to share. It's private. You don't have to worry about, you can even share anonymously.
Yeah,
it's a really, the interaction, the engagement that I've seen on the back end as a professional, I'm like, oh, this is really positive. You're getting really good advice from people who have been there and know what's going on. So I would definitely reach out there if you're not already.
Oh, I love that plug for our Facebook group. Thank you, Catherine. My God, the Venmo's been sent.
I just like to lurk and look at all the tea. There's some good juicy stuff. You guys have some crazy stories.
Girl, nothing else, join her for the tea, because some of the things that are going on in y'all's lives, woo, I'm going to launch a whole separate show. Catherine, thank you so much for being here with us tonight. This was such an important conversation, and I'm just so glad. I'm so glad that you're such a good friend of our show.
I love spending time with both of you, and I think you're doing really positive, good work for the community. So thank you.
Oh my God, sending you more money right now.
Speaking of spilling the tea, Catherine is amazing because she's actually telling our listeners that she sucked at divorce. She's still kind of in that sucky phase of dealing with it, but she's working through it and she's using Our Family Wizard to help her, which is really cool to hear firsthand that somebody, it's working for somebody, at least helping, I should say.
So funny that she like works with them and uses it. But when you just said, speaking of spilling the tea, I thought you were going to call me out for just dumping water all over myself. Oh. Did you not see that? I was just finishing this like delicious sparkling water and this blood orange flavored water. And I just tilted it back to do like a dramatic, like I'm finishing the end of the can. And it literally went dribbling all over my face. So please, if things can't get any worse around here,
my God.
But you know what? We're bringing you everything that we can to help you doggy paddle your way through this mess. Do you have anything good going on this weekend, Morgan?
I have, you know what I have going on this weekend? I have dinner and drinks with another friend that I haven't seen in a while, and I'm actually really looking forward to it. Getting out on the town, doing it. How about you?
I do. I have some, I'm taking some time. As I said at the beginning of the show, things are hard right now in my life and I'm carving out some time to like get myself together and feel like happy and healthy. So it's not my weekend with the kids. So Steve and I are going to just spend some time together and I'm going to see some friends and just be a happy girl. Maybe I'll do another layer of self-tan.
I mean, I was thinking, you look really tan and glowy. The Dermamate is clearly working and your hair is on point. Like, what is happening?
Hey, Dermamate. Yeah. Girl. Okay. WTF. I'm obsessed. I actually am meeting with Dr. Brodsky herself next week because we're going to film a video together for our private community. And I'm like, I just want to like show off my face to her and be like, oh my God, are you obsessed with my face? I'm obsessed with my face. Like,
I told you about those products like way long before they were an advertiser on the podcast. You were like, okay, cool. I mean, now you kind of want all of them, right?
Totally. Wait, I have a quick question for you. Everyone can listen to this because they've got nothing better to do. Do you think that you can use the vitamin C and the retinol serum on the same day?
Yes. Yes. Well, and I know that you can because Dr. Brodsky will give you a whole lay of the land, but yes. Yes, you do.
Do you know which one goes first? Retinol. Okay, there you go. All right. So now there, and this is how nerdy I am. And you know, I used to be in the skincare industry years ago. So, but every line is different on how they want you to do things. But I look forward to washing my face at night and layering all this stuff on.
Well, that's one thing. Can you make sure when you do the video with her in our private community, she tells everyone what like the play is, what steps we go first?
Exactly. That's so important. And again, okay, bringing it back home, you guys, these are the things that can help you get through the months, the weeks, the hours of your life that just...
Yeah, you may be in absolute hell, but if your skin, it looks good, damn, you're going to feel okay at times. So it's the little things, isn't it?
Girl, I am living proof right now. I'll tell you, I probably had one of the hardest weeks I have had in years, but my skin looks so damn good.
You're tan. You look glowy.
I mean, like, I'll be like, I'm so sad, but I'm so pretty.
All we need. Okay, but listen, if you are in the thick of it, we know where you're at. We're giving you a little bit of humor, but also some real tips. The little things matter. The little things will get you through. And where you are right now is not your forever. It's not. And you heard Andrea say it. You know, it was scary. It was tough for her, but she got through it and she would never look back and say that she would have done it, you know, any other way of not doing it, I should say. She probably would have done a lot of things differently. That's why we started this podcast, to help her not suck if she could look back. But she definitely wouldn't have not gone through the process. And she's so thankful that she did. And that's what we want to tell you, is that there is light at the end of the tunnel. The tunnel is winding. The tunnel twists and turns, but at the end, you will be better for it. And I always say, in a few years after that, you will be absolutely fantastic.
It does end. It's not forever. I have so many people who message me personally and say, Andrea, how do I get to where you are right now? You are engaged to a wonderful man. You have this, you have a career, you have a life, your skin. No, but you seem so much healthier and happier. And it is one freaking step at a time. And that's exactly why we are here. We are going to be there with you on your good days, on your bad days, and on your really, really bad days. Lean on this show. We have so many more avenues of support coming your way, which we are so freaking excited about. So stay tuned. We've got some big announcements coming soon. Join our private community. When you get a chance, please rate and review our show. Every single rating means so much to us. And friends, big announcement. We now are in the top 1% of podcasts worldwide, and we owe that to you. So thank you. We love you. And remember, you can do this. And you, my friends, have got this.
And we have got you.